Thank you so much. Man, it is a wonderful privilege to be here tonight. This room is packed with destiny. Seriously, you guys are kings and queens of God. You princes and princesses. You history makers. And I've come today with what I believe is a powerful prophetic word that I'm going to share in between a little bit of verses and a bit of teaching, something that the Lord is going to begin releasing in this season, and you guys are the first to get it. There's something breaking out from this campus, breaking out from your lives. There's storm clouds, there's big clouds that have been building up, you know, in Johannesburg in the middle of summer when it gets really hot. Then some afternoons you look out on the horizon and there's gray clouds that start coming in. And clouds are building. And I'm going to share with you what I believe God's going to do. So, it is wonderful, wonderful to be here with you today. Now, how many of you know me, have heard me speak before? Other way around. We did this the wrong way this morning. How many of you have not heard me speak before? Can you put your hand up? Wonderful. Thank you, my friend. Well, hopefully Carol's introduction. I just want to tell you guys that the thing I'm most passionate about in life really is university students, you guys. My wife and I sit in Houston, Texas, where we now live because we're building an oil business for this company that we started in South Africa that's taking on America, and we pray for you. We pray for the future leaders of South Africa. We pray for Carol and Mina. And really, we believe that there's amazing things going to come out of this room, sincerely, in our hearts. You guys have probably heard of LIT. You've probably heard Pastor Sergei come and speak to you, or other things. And you know that we're so behind LIT. So, let me start with a little story. We left South Africa in June 2011. Our business here in South Africa was doing great. We'd built up a wonderful business in mining assets in South Africa and in together with my partners in Europe and with a real vision to develop mining projects in Africa, other African countries, that is, north of the Limpopo. And, you know, there's kind of home, you know, South Africa's home, and then there's across the Limpopo. But I know some of you come from north maybe as well. How many Zimbabweans are here? Oh man, guys, we love you. I just want to tell you, that's not a lot of hands. I expected more. But can we try again? How many Zimbabweans are here? All right. That's great. Give them a hand. Let's do this prophetically, because the Lord has got a great plan for that nation. And I know for many, it seems like there's been a stillbirth. You know what a stillbirth is? It's like something was getting born and then it seemed like it died. What happened? How can that happen? But it's not. It's nothing's died in the heart of God. It's just taking longer. And can we stretch out our hands to them as we do that, prophetically pray for Zimbabwe? Lord, we call out the purposes of Jesus for Zimbabwe. Lord, we declare that nation belongs to God, that the blood of Jesus paid for that nation. Lord, we declare, Lord, that your salvation is coming to Zimbabwe. But Lord, we also declare that transformation is coming to that nation. We declare that the hungry will not be hungry anymore in Zimbabwe. We declare that that nation will shine in the world and it will be an example of a nation built on God's word, and it will disciple other nations and it will send missionaries all over the world. And Zimbabwe will cause an earthquake that is felt all over the planet. We declare this in the name of Jesus, and we call out your transformation, Lord, your plans, your purposes, Lord, for that nation. And bless our brothers and sisters that are here from Zimbabwe. Bless them while they're in this nation, in Jesus' name. So, I in 2011, I was here in Johannesburg. We'd survived the 2008 Lehman's crisis. I don't know if you guys heard of that. Maybe you were still at high school, like far from New York and Wall Street. But banks collapsed and the financial world collapsed. Many businesses, when that happened, the test was, can you just survive? If you survive, then you'll be successful in the future. So our little business here in South Africa was shaken. And we survived it, and we were still strong here in South Africa. And we began feeling that the Lord wanted us to invest in oil and gas in the United States. And we'd made one investment in 2008, gone really well. I used to be on a plane once every 2 months from here to go there to Michigan. And it had gone really well, and we saw, wow, this is a great thing. And so we made the decision that one of the Umbono directors has to move to the United States, you know. And so I sat down with my partners, and it was clear that it should be me because I'm the one that likes to pioneer new territory. And so with their blessing, they sent me off. What I wanted to tell you is that what we were passionate about in business is, you know, when you follow the Lord, you don't always see the exact purpose. I just knew I was called to business. And then as we went along, we discovered, wow, what's God got for us? You know, the book of Acts says that God determined the exact places where men should live. Have you seen that scripture? It says God determined the exact places where men should live. And if you think about minerals, gold, silver, platinum, God also put those in exact places. And as we've been in mining, we've discovered a purpose from God. That God put minerals in a place so that the kingdom could be brought to the people who live near those minerals. It's like, wow, obvious, you know? But God's heart, if there's a gold mine, is that the community that lives near that gold mine should experience the kingdom of God. And so that became our dream. You know, you've heard it said, mines build towns. The discovery of gold built Johannesburg, Egoli, right? And we just figure that if we do this in a kingdom way, we can build cities that look like heaven. And that just means running the business a little bit differently, you know? So, I mean, you might even remember about 2 or 3 years ago, one of the companies we own, Village Main Reef, with Bernard Swanepoel, maybe some of you guys have met him, we were sitting down and strategizing, and we said, we own a couple of gold mines. Are we doing enough to bring the kingdom of God to those communities? And you might remember, we actually came and made an announcement at WITS and said, who wants to come and give a year of their life and work for Village Main Reef to bring the kingdom into the communities? And some of, maybe this was already a few years ago. But that's our passion. So anyway, we've got this dream that in our lives, in this continent, we're going to build 10, 20 mining projects. And as we do that, we're going to have chaplains and school principals and school teachers, and communities and towns that are built up are going to look like heaven. And you know the story of South Africa is the opposite, right? People came here for the mineral wealth, and they did it in a way that didn't bring heaven. It brought a little bit of hell, actually, didn't it? It separated men from their families, from the rural communities. The families couldn't come, so the men came alone because they didn't want to pay for the whole family to come. It tore up the family structure. Then the conditions of living caused all sorts of things to happen. And I don't need to get into that. I just need to tell you that imagine 100 years ago, before mineral wealth was discovered in South Africa, imagine there was you called as a business person to mining. And you discovered this country called South Africa, and you had a vision that as you build a gold mine, heaven should come to the people who live near that gold mine. Can you imagine what this country would look like 100 years later? That's why there's a call of God not only to be pastors and teachers and missionaries, there's a call of God to serve Him in business, in government, in education, in politics, in every corner of the planet. So we have that vision, but I'm kind of telling you a little bit of my story. So Our business here was strong in South Africa. We said we're expanding to the U.S. So I stood up with my family, my wife, and Carol's absolutely right. I could not have fulfilled God's plan for my life and made the moves that I've made if it wasn't for my wife. And so choosing the right spouse is not just a matter of hormones, you know? It's not just... The main ingredient you need is not chemistry. It's destiny. The main ingredient you need is that there's a purpose, that the Word of God is on a person's life. And it's almost, let me give you a little bit of advice, because, you know, I was 18, 19, 20 on campus with lots of hormones, you know. I, guys, you and me, we're the same, right? So you had all of this energy. It's like magnets, you know. It's like wow. It's just, and don't forget, I studied in Cape Town. Now, when they told us this about UCT, they told us it had a 7-to-1 female to male ratio. So it was like, you know, if you've got hormones, and you're a male, it's just like, it's like an open goal mouth. It's like the goalkeeper collapsed and you've got the ball, and it's like, but I'm not preaching that that's how you should think. I'm actually telling you that what I realized as a student like you is that you have to push against the pull of chemistry so that you can listen to the call of destiny. Because, you know, once you give in to that chemistry, especially by getting physical, because then you just unlock chemistry, you just, you know. So, get off the couch. Go outside and fly a kite, you know what I mean? That's what our pastor used to say. Go and get an ice cream. Cool down. Because when you... Really, Song of Solomon says, guard your heart with all discipline. In fact, sorry, Proverbs chapter 4. Guard your heart with all discipline, for out of it flow the issues of life. That's the most true in relationships in these years at university. So follow destiny, and the Holy Spirit will speak. Take it slowly. Guard your heart. Listen. Get advice. Get counsel. That's the way to build. Because I'm telling you, 20 years later, the fact that I've got a wife that said yes, I will take the kids out of school and I'll come with you to America. I'll leave my family. I'll leave my father and mother. I'll come with you and I'll support you. Wow. And it's not just like she paid a price. She did. She paid a huge price. But we were talking about 3 weeks ago. And just seeing the favor of God on her life, how happy she is with friendships, how she's grown in her ministry as an intercessor, how our children are prospering. I looked and I said, it's not just me, you know, and what God's called me to, that the grace of God is on her. And she's been a queen. She really has. She's been absolutely amazing. So I don't have this philosophy that, you know, that the role of a woman is just to get married and then move to America because the husband wants to go there. I'm not trying to say that. I'm saying my wife is marked with a destiny, and she's been reproducing Christ in 3 young children. And that is very, very powerful. Amen. So, we went from here to Germany for 6 months. Long story, won't tell you why. But the Lord, sometimes in your path, He takes you here, He takes you there, He takes you there. Because at each stop, He's preparing things inside of you. And it's been said a few times today, your studies, your exams, these times are not times to, if I can just get those studies behind me, they're bugging me, they're holding back my life. You know, it's like this. This is Luke 16 verse 10. If you are faithful with little, God will make you ruler over much. This is the time to be faithful with your studies. I don't intend anyone to sit here who said, well, you know what, I haven't been that faithful. I want to challenge you from now on to treat your studies as worship, as Carol said. I got this conviction as a student at UCT that I should worship God in how much I poured into my studies. And honestly, the Lord's favor has exploded on my life because of that. So you're investing in your destiny now. And so, if you didn't study hard, there's grace. The Lord loves you. He's going to help you. But then from the beginning of next semester, from January or February, you're just going to remember Luke 16 verse 10. I'm going to be faithful with this, you know, so that I can rule a nation one day with the quality that I put into my engineering. You know, that's why it says, Paul says to Timothy, he says to him, a man must govern his house well to qualify as an elder, because if you can't rule your house, how can you rule the church? And then in the book of Proverbs, it says, if a man can control his temper, he's more powerful than the one who rules a city. And so everything is internal to external. The battles are inside here and with small things. And that's where you slay a small enemy. And one day you'll fight Goliath. You know, David could only kill Goliath because he'd first killed the enemies of the sheep while he was a shepherd. And so, what I'm trying to say, you're in God's grace. I just feel it. Every one of you are in God's grace. You're in God's plan. You're on a perfect path to greatness. Be faithful with your studies. Be guarded in your heart in relationships. Grow in this church congregation. Seek what God's doing in you as a student. Fast forward. We get to America and we move to Michigan. Now, I'm a South African like you. I like the sun. I like it warm. Even Joburg winters are cold. We get to Michigan, which is close to Canada. Which, you know where Canada is? It's close to the Arctic Circle. It's cold. Okay. And in Michigan, we used to have snow like this in winter, and it was crazy. And we went through such a stretching time. I don't have time to tell you the story. But the Lord was stretching our faith. So I told you when we left, our business was doing well. We got this prophetic word about making a big acquisition. And we got offered an opportunity to buy something that is so amazing. For what, less than 10% of what it was worth, we got that opportunity, but it was a lot of money for us South Africans. Wow. It was a lot of money, and we made the decision to buy it, and we had a good assets here in South Africa, and we said, we'll try and raise money in the U.S. to debt financing to fund this, but if we don't, we'll have our South African assets to sell, and we knew it was God. So we signed, we paid our deposit for this amazing shale gas asset, you know, horizontal drilling, fracking, all that good stuff, you know. By the way, I frack. Actually, I don't. We don't really frack in our project, but just to, you can come and fight with me afterwards if you think fracking's bad. Do you think fracking's bad, out of interest? Have you heard of fracking? Okay, great. All right, excellent. Then let's not even talk about it. But you've heard of shale gas in the Karoo. It's like potentially the new platinum, the new gold for South Africa. So anyway, God gives us a 200,000-acre shale gas asset in the United States. And it's sweet. And we have to pay for it. And we've got assets here in South Africa we can sell to pay for it. And we sign. And then, bang! Those South African assets just collapse. And the South African rand just collapses. So in dollars, it's gone. And suddenly, the Lord wanted me in that place of faith and dependence, because I was walking into His destiny in control of everything. I'm in control. This is God's plan, and I can handle it. I can pay with my own money for what God is. You're doing this, right? I'm going to pay. You know? And God wanted me in a place of dependence and faith so that He would pay something I couldn't afford. Anyway, the Lord did miracles, but for me, you see, I'm missing some hair. Those years in Michigan, 18 months, were stressful. They were squeezing. And so, in June last year, we feel it's right. God's moving us to Houston, Texas. And I was sitting with my smallest boy in the car. We took a 5-day road trip so we could have some bonding with the father and son and see the United States. It was very special. And he loved it. And he was so excited about everything he saw in America, you know. And so we're in the car, and on the 5th day, as I'm driving into Houston, there was this amazing moment of clarity where the Holy Spirit really started speaking to me, and I began to see, look back at 20, 30 years, of, well, actually not 30 years, but like the past 20 years of my life, and reflect on everything God's done. And this is what I want to tell you. I was sitting in that car, and I realized that God was about to fulfill a dream, and a very specific thing that I'd asked for, that I dreamt about when I was your age as a student, and I'd forgotten all about it because of the stretching and the loss of hair and the stress. I'd forgotten about it. It wasn't even something I was going after anymore. It was like just, I was like Abraham, where, you know, when Abraham was told to sacrifice Isaac? Sometimes when you go through tough times, guys, it's actually like Abraham with Isaac. It's like something you thought is of God is dying, and you just surrender it and you say, my life's in your hands. You'll give me back the promise, okay? And I was in that car, and God showed me that He's answering a dream I'd always had. Now let me rewind and tell you a bit about that dream. And then we'll get into the Word. In 1989, 1990, a revival like this began at UCT. That's where His people started. And the Holy Spirit got poured out. There was such passion. And I remember as students, we just said, we want to give our lives for Jesus. I mean, if we can die as martyrs, then that would be awesome, you know? Have you ever heard the story about the Moravians? That was a story that used to inspire us when we were students. You know the story of the Moravians? They had a 100-year revival in Moravia. And there was this famous story of one day when families went to the ships to see off members of their families that had gotten onto the ships. And those that had gotten onto the ships had sold themselves as slaves. That actually said, their families had gone and said, this son of mine, he wants to become a slave. They chose to become slaves so that the ships would take them to nations where the gospel hadn't been preached. And that picture was in our hearts, because there's a famous saying of what one of those young men on the ships had said, who had given up his freedom. He said this. He said, I'm doing this so that the Lamb may receive the reward of the suffering of his soul. And that story, just the desire to surrender our lives to Jesus, just fired up our hearts. But this was around the time that South Africa was changing as well. And as students at UCT, we used to have so much fun, because there was all the protests and marches against the police, and we'd get fired on with tear gas, and rubber bullets would get shot at us, and we used to love it, you know. We used to stand there, and then the police used to be across the highway, you know, from the old apartheid government, and they would count down, and they'd say 5, 4, and we'd like, hey, you know, we'd like, and we'd get ready to run 2, 1, bang, and they'd start shooting, and we'd run up to our residence, you know, and it was those days. So there was just such excitement, a feeling like South Africa is changing, a new nation is being birthed. And then something really important happened, and that's that the Reformation message started getting taught to us as students. What is the Reformation message? It's what LIT teaches. It's what his people teaches. It's the idea that the Lord is not only calling pastors and teachers and full-time church workers, he's actually calling businessmen and government, and because he's interested in every part of society. So this teaching comes just as this new nation's getting birthed, and we like giving our lives to this. And I realized then, you know what? I'm not going to become a pastor. I realize I'm a CA. I'm not a CA yet. I want to become a CA. I'm studying accounting. I can be a businessman for Jesus. And it became so clear that his anointing was going to come on me that I should be a businessman. And I got this word that I would become an apostolic businessman. You know, the Bible speaks about apostles. And we always thought apostles are a guy who plants churches. So then to realize, wow, an apostle is a guy that plants kingdom businesses. You know, wow, that's so exciting. That's so inspiring. And so I remember we used to go on mission trips. The first mission trip we went to was to Zimbabwe. And what, 20 minutes? I'm like still introducing myself. No, don't worry. We'll get you guys home for your studies. Thank you, bro. So we used to go on mission trips to like a nation like Zimbabwe. And back in 1992, I became passionate about Zimbabwe. And we'd go and we'd lead souls to Christ, but we'd also become excited that that nation should be changed. You know what I mean? And we'd realize it's going to take businessmen. It's going to take godly government officials. It's going to take teachers to change this nation. And anyway, I remember in those years, before church service on a Sunday afternoon, we had Sunday afternoon church service, I just used to sit with my diary and I used to write down dreams that I had about my life. And one of the dreams I wrote down was, okay, God, if you've called me to become a businessman, then I want you to place me in a city in the world that's like the center of the universe, business-wise, and I want your anointing to come on me there, and I want to succeed there. And as I'm driving into Houston with my boy in the car, the Holy Spirit comes into the car and he says, I remembered. And this is what I've done for you now. And I realized, wow, it took 15 years. It took the time in Michigan where I lost hair. It took adventures in South Africa. It took a road like this. It took a lot of struggle. It took exams, you know? But the Lord prepared me faithfully, and He never forgot the purpose that He has for my life. And He even said to me, what do you desire? And I had ideas and dreams, and I wrote them down, and He's fulfilling them right now. I'm 25 years on from you, brothers and sisters, because I'm 43, okay? So some of you are maybe 18. That's why I don't have hair, okay? So don't laugh at me now, because one day when you're 43, we'll meet again. Here's the prophetic word that I feel I've got for you. There's been storm clouds gathering because the passion of Jesus for this nation is intense. The passion of Jesus for the nations that this nation, South Africa, can influence is intense. God has got a mission. Jesus has got a purpose. And there's storm clouds been gathering over this generation that you're part of. God has marked this generation that you're part of. and these storm clouds are about to break, and the rain of heaven, the rain of the Holy Spirit is about to begin pouring on your lives like never before. And what's going to pour on you is a freshening, all the good things that the grace of God brings, but specifically giftings, calling, and destinies for history making. That is what this rain is going to bring. And I shared this morning. Pastor Carol is going to carry this not only in Johannesburg but to many other cities. And other students that you guys rub shoulders with, you're going to carry this message, so that you're going to stand on a ship a bit like those Moravians that were sold out to Jesus, that said, I will do everything with my life to make your name glorious, Jesus. And sell yourselves out to Jesus. But it probably won't be in the mission field for most of you. It will be in the areas of business, corporate work, education. Some of you just being great moms for a season in your life. Amen? And the Lord is opening your ears. So here's what I want to tell you. You guys are quite focused on your studies at the moment, right? In fact, you're probably sitting there saying, I'm glad Neo showed him the clock, because that guy looks like he could speak well past 8 o'clock, you know? So don't worry, I'm good at time. Usually. But although you're quite focused on your studies, the Lord is opening your ears in this season. And in the next weeks, months, and these years as a student, this rain is going to pour on you. There's a season of dreaming, a season of destiny, a season where God is going to speak to you and you're going to hear your call, a season of ideas. You might even be sitting in a lecture room hearing about architecture and you're going to get an idea and realize God is calling me to that. And then there'll even be dreams where you'll be sitting with your brothers and sisters just having ideas and talking, and the Holy Spirit will be speaking and you'll be stretching. And 25 years later, like me, you'll start realizing God is behind it. He's doing it. He's fulfilling it. Amen. So I encourage you to listen. I encourage you to write down and really just to get everything you can in this season. So I want to go to a few verses together and then we'll end it. So come with me to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 and verse 13. Let's read together until verse 17. It says, I think they probably put it up here. Awesome. It was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world. Say that. Heir of the world. Heir of the world. But through the righteousness that comes by faith. Verse 16. Therefore the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed. Say, guaranteed. To all of Abraham's offspring. Not only those who have the law, but also those who have the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. It says, he's the Father in the sight of God in whom he believes, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. God is going to call things that are not in your life as though they were. What was that for Abraham? The problem was he had a 90-year-old wife. And that's when God came to him and said, you're going to become the father of many nations. And Abraham said, no. You must mean that guy over there. My wife's 90. She ain't having no babies, you know? She already is walking a little bit like this. And God gives life. And he calls things that are not as though they were. So don't limit your dreaming by what you don't have, by how poor your family was, by your background. You said, no, but I'm not good at maths. Or whatever it is. I don't have money. I don't have good training. I come from a poor village. God gives life to the dead, and he calls things that are not as though they were. It says that Abraham received a promise. There's promises hanging over each of your heads. There's things that God wants to give you. And here's what I want to tell you. In verse 16, it gives the secret. It says, the promise comes by grace so that it should be by faith. Here's what's so amazing. I don't have a formula for you guys that says, listen, if you stick to those 10 commandments, don't break them once, then you will be successful. If you do this, if you do that, if you do this, then the promise of God for Abraham, he couldn't actually do the most important part, which was getting his wife pregnant. I mean, he was involved in that, you know what I'm saying? But God had to do a miracle. Andile's laughing, right? Andile's learned that faith without works is dead, right? That's right. So, back on track, okay. Back on track. So, there's such grace in your life. There's such favor. The second verse I want to go to is in Psalm 103. And I'm just going to say it to you because we don't have too much time. Psalm 103 is awesome. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And then it starts listing his benefits. So if ever you're discouraged, just realize you've got a benefit plan. You've got like an insurance plan underwritten by God. And you must go and read your benefits. It says, who forgives all my sins, heals all my diseases, redeems my life from the pit. And here's the one I love. And crowns you with love and compassion. What does that mean? It means God says, come here, my child. I want to put a crown on you. I want to make you a prince and a princess, and I'm going to love you for the rest of your life. It's that promise that you walk in to fulfill God's purpose for you. If I can tell you anything that's happened to me in 25 years, it's that I've just realized more and more how much the Father loves me. You know, right now we're drilling these very expensive wells. Okay? It costs $1 million per well to drill, and we're busy drilling those. And let me tell you what happens. If they run over, like they slow, one day costs $40,000. So sometimes I wake up in the morning and they say, you know, we lost 12 hours. I'm thinking $20,000. You know what I'm saying? And this is busy happening, and again, it's stretching me, losing a bit more hair. But I'm praying one day while this is happening, and I'm just feeling the love of God. The Lord was ministering to me from Romans chapter 8, where it says, nothing can separate me from the love of God. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who loved me. And I wanted to jump up from my prayer room and just say, I'm a conqueror. Not because I'm smart. Really? I mean, God's given me a good brain, but that's not why I'm a conqueror. Not because I've got a CA, not I've got a great wife, but I'm more than a conqueror because Christ loves me. And He's with me. And He helps me all the time. And He's faithful to you guys in your studies. He's actually asking you to test Him. To test His love. I don't mean a testing that says I'm not going to study. See what happens. I mean a partnership where you do your side and He brings His love to help you. So, I want to end with this verse. I think the point I was trying to make is that it's by grace and by the love of God that Abraham got his promise fulfilled. I want to end with Matthew chapter 22 and verse 14. You've probably read this verse, it'll probably come up there in a second, and it's probably worried you. It's the verse where Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen. Have you ever wondered about that verse and said, Which one am I, you know? I hope I'm not the called but not chosen one. Now, how do I become chosen, not just called? Because what I'm saying is there's like a loudspeaker going to be happening in the next 2, 3, 4 months over your life of callings. How do I become the chosen one that gets that calling? How? Well, the answer is in the parable that's just before this in Matthew 22. It says that the king was giving a banquet for his son. Somebody's calling you, bro. Okay, I think he'll turn off his phone now. And the king was throwing a banquet for his son. And he invited all the rich friends and family. And the day of the banquet came, and they weren't there. He called them, but they didn't respond. And then it says he sent his servants out to invite the poor and the beggars on the streets, and they arrived. They were the ones that were chosen. How do you become chosen? You say, I'll come. Isaiah chapter 6. You know that story. The Lord says, who will go for us? Whom shall I send? What does Isaiah say? Here I am. Send me. Today and in the next months is your choice to say to Jesus, yes. Yes to your call. It's not enough that there's a call over your life to be an apostolic businessman. By the way, with a call there's a price. It's not enough. It's to say yes. And you say yes, and then you stick to it for the rest of your life. So tonight the Lord is asking, who shall I send? Who wants to serve me? Who wants to make my name famous in the earth? Who wants to glorify Jesus? And the grace of God, the love of God will be with you and He'll support you all the way. Amen? So we're going to end this now, right now, with a song. Boris, you're good, awesome. So I want to play you a little song. And during this song, it's you and the Lord. And I want you to decide what you're going to do. And see and respond to Him. That's what I encourage you to do. Say yes to His call for your life. And then we'll pray and we'll end it. Okay, so this is what I want us to do as a response. If you feel He's saying something to you today, then I'm going to ask you to make a decision on whether to stand up. If you feel that the Lord is calling you and you want to say to Him, yes, here I am, okay? And then, so do that now if that's you. And then we're going to pray together for those that stand. And this is about your future, about your destiny, and about living a life that's sold out to the Lord. Is there anybody like that here? I think I'm in very good company here tonight. All right, let's just raise our hands to the Lord and ask Him for His grace. So, there's one thing. Just focus your eyes on the Lord. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, He said, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done is in secret will reward you. And one thing God is calling you to as part of this response is into a life of prayer and into a life of a deep personal relationship with Him. Not just kind of knowing God through your friends, but a deep personal walk, you know. And so that's part of this response. And He's going to give you so much of His presence as you meet Him in the secret place. So Lord, You see every heart. You know every one of my brothers and sisters standing here today. Lord, they, like Isaiah, that are saying, Yes, here am I, send me. So Lord, I pray you release your grace on them. Father, I pray you release your Spirit. Lord, I pray that what you told me prophetically would happen, that there'd be storm clouds that break, and it would be like a downpour, a rain, a heavy, heavy rain. I pray that that heavy rain would be released. It would start today on their lives as individuals, that they would start getting ideas, start getting pictures, start having dreams, start getting inspired about their lives, Lord. Release callings, release giftings, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that you release also your grace and your love. And you'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. And Lord, I also, you call us to the inner room. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would draw each one into a deep personal prayer time with you. I pray that their quiet times would become their most precious times of the day, even during exams. That they would have times, just moments with you, where they feel your love, where you open up your word to them, Lord, where you strengthen them. And Lord, I pray for this thing, this exams. Lord, I rebuke fear. I rebuke confusion in anyone's mind in Jesus' name. I rebuke distractions. I declare that you will sit in your chair and study, and you'll feel the peace of heaven around you. You'll feel the joy of the Holy Spirit, and you will be circled and protected so that you can focus your mind and that you can study, because Jesus loves your studies. And as you study, you worship Him, because what you're doing is you're investing into your destiny that He's called you to. So I declare that that is a beautiful and awesome and peaceful time. And you know, we've joked tonight about relationships, but I feel there's some of you here that are actually, you're in like, you could almost call it a sticky relationship. You're like in a relationship where your heart is like burning and there's turmoil and there's confusion. I'm talking about a boy-girl relationship. And if that's you, just surrender your heart to Jesus now. He's going to touch your heart, and He's going to quiet those things which have been confusing you. Lord, I just speak into those hearts. And I just, and even if people have fallen physically, sexually, I pray now for your grace to be released. If that's you and you've been running from God and you've been hiding from Him, just in under your breath, you know, this isn't the kind of thing where I'm going to ask you to put up your hand. Under your breath, just say, Lord, forgive me. And He's going to come in and wash you and wipe you and make you clean. And He's going to take away that condemnation. Just receive forgiveness now and receive release. We rebuke a condemning voice of the enemy, because that voice is not from the Holy Spirit. It's not Jesus. And then some of you have been getting lies. You've been getting, the devil has been shouting in your ear, telling you that he's just been reminding you of something. He's been telling you you're bad and that you're separated from God. There are people here tonight that feel like you're not worthy. And it's a lie. And God is saying to you, I see you tonight. And there's nothing that can separate you from me. Because Jesus paid the price for your sin. And so if that's you, just ask Him to forgive you right now. In Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for that condemning, accusing spirit to go from them in Jesus' name. And there's some. Now here, I do want you to lift your hand to me. For prayer, if this is you. There's some that during your studies you've almost been feeling like there's an iron bondage, something over your head that's like, you feel like your head is dull and there's like an iron helmet, but it's not a helmet, it's like squeezing your head. And I feel, so just put up your hand high to me if that's you, because the Lord sees you. Okay, quite a few of you. He's going to break that off tonight in the name of Jesus. I feel some of that is because of curses that have come over your life. And you know what the devil is? He's a chancer. So once you become a child of God and you get washed by the blood of Jesus, no curse can survive over your life. But the devil will try. He'll try and he'll do it until you push him back and say, you can't do that. And so if that's you tonight, and in fact, I'm going to ask you, can you guys help me? We're all going to repeat this just for those brothers and sisters that need this. I want you to repeat after me, okay? Just pray this. Lord Jesus, I praise you that I'm washed in the precious blood of Jesus. I praise you that I belong to God. I praise you that you have taken me from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. And I have the forgiveness of sin. So I rebuke Satan for any attack against my life. I break curses in Jesus' name. No curse shall survive over my life in Jesus' name. I close the door to every curse. And Lord, I pray that you'd lift every heaviness over my mind in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for total freedom right now over my mind and my learning and my soul in Jesus' name. Okay, let me just pray for you. Lord, I thank you for these awesome children of God. Lord, I declare, I speak over them breakthrough. I speak over them the learning of the Holy Spirit. I declare that over you is an open heaven, and there's like a beam of light coming from heaven that's over your mind. And as you sit down and study, I declare that the angels are involved in it, that the Holy Spirit is involved in it, that it's only heaven that influences your learning. I declare that there is no curse over your life that prevails in Jesus' name. And I declare that it's broken and that the blood of Jesus covers you and washes you here tonight.